This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's
and did he ask for a pledge of loyalty from you? That's another thing he said.
No, he did not.
So he said those things under oath. Would you be willing to speak under oath to give your version of those events?
100%.
100%. He'd be willing to testify under oath. Do you think that's a good move for him?
Horrible. And if I were here as an attorney, I would grab him by the ankle to prevent him from going into a room and giving sworn testimony, walk into a perjury trap. You never know the questions they're going to ask. It could be a highly technical question. Isn't it a fact that you did, you looked out the window and
but
you saw a lady in a red suit?
The message from the president is that he has nothing to hide by saying that.
Sandra, is not the point. The point is, if you are a lawyer, you do not, there's only one danger the president now faces. There's no Russia collusion. He did not ask Comey to lay off the Russiagate. He asked him to go easy on Flynn. But in that landmine of specifics, it can be asked any kind of question that later is contradicted by something he said earlier, something he says later. Why open yourself to a perjury trap? Because that's his only vulnerability now. If he destroys the tapes, if they exist, that's a vulnerability. If he lies under oath, if he gets caught in a perjury trap, remember, that's how Bill Clinton went down, lying about whether he had sex with Monica Lewinsky under oath in a deposition in a Paula Jones civil lawsuit. My goodness, how tangential to the issue can you get? You don't let him testify under oath. He's trying to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. He emerged unscathed from the Comey hearing. He should declare victory.
Hold on.
Geraldo talking on Fox News and, you know, giving counsel, you know, public counsel to the president. You know, it's one thing to say, look at, you know, 100% I didn't, but, you know, he doesn't want to go in exactly because attorneys know how to twist you. And even as good as Donald Trump is and as smart a guy as he is, you know, they'll find a way. You know, Bill Clinton wasn't a dummy either, but, you know, they'll find a way. The pretzel logic gets you into something. And of course, anything that Trump says will be used against him, has been used against him, even things that he thought, you know, supposedly, because we have mind readers, we have district judges who are mind readers now, and, you know, they've made decisions based on what they believe Trump had meant instead of what was said in a legal document. So, you know, case in point here is the president doesn't want, you know, doesn't need to do this. I think, again, as we've been saying time and again, he is the president of the United States. Just sit in that authority, okay? All this other noise, let that go. And what will happen, even with, you know, some of these polls and things that people want to look to, wow, look what he's doing, you know, he's at 38%, you know, this is just terrible. Well, this is what leadership calls for. Leadership takes you from where you are to where you need to be. And he needs to focus and stay on target in terms of the vision that he has for the country and to bring that other, you know, maybe 10-12% to that vision. And what will happen is, you know, and as much as the Democrats will have a hard time accepting this, is there's some successes here. We've had some successes, and those need to be pronounced all the more. And, you know, like anything, you know, like any sports star, for example, who can have a bad game and all he is one game away or one winning bucket away from being a champ again and, you know, having the following of the people. And it's the same thing here in politics. But the Democrats are going to do everything they can not to allow Donald Trump, you know, to have a success. But who's it at whose expense? At the people's expense. I mean, we're paying for all this. Again, I remind you, this is our hard-earned tax money that we give to the government to be stewards of this money so that they can do what they can to get, you know, to level the playing field and have people realize their dreams and ambitions, a government of, for, by, we, the people, that, you know, we have every bit of right and expectation for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How's this government doing now? You know, as far as the Democrats are concerned, I mean, forget that. It's like the Constitution has no relevance whatsoever. But maybe it's time for we the people to say, in fact, it does. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now, this is Bill Martinez. We are live.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com and drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Matthew McGinnis, a resident fellow with the American Enterprise Institute, is with us. His research areas include Iranian strategy, military power and defense policy, U.S.-Iran security policy, as well as U.S. defense policy in the Middle East, non-proliferation issues, as well as intelligence policy. Matthew McGinnis, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you here to talk about your new monograph, a new word for me, I have to admit. I'm going to claim some ignorance here, but I know you're going to enlighten me because in the research terminology, this is how you guys roll, right?
Yeah. It's one of our kind of our capital products. It's one of the things that kind of represents almost three years worth of research into what makes the Iranians tick. I've been trying to understand how the Ayatollah thinks and how Revolutionary Guard Corps thinks and why the Iranians are such a problem for us.
Yeah. Well, and we need you because there's been so much, confusion and miscommunication about Iran. Certainly some of the things that was done recently under the former administration toward Iran, and Main Street America goes, what's happening here, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's been a real challenge for us, especially coming out of 8 years of the Obama administration trying to reorient American policy towards, frankly, finding an accommodation with Iran. And I think this has been a real challenge. And I think the new administration is taking a much stronger stance because I think they recognize that Iran is still driven, by, at least in many parts of its policies, by strong ideology that opposes the U.S., opposes Israel, and even though some parts of its policies are still what I consider classic national security interests, you can't get around some of this ideology that is very problematic for us, and that hasn't really changed.
Yeah, how can you talk about Middle East peace, especially when it involves Iran, when they're so ideologically fixed that it would seem that their main tenets go against any kind of peace, especially if it involves Israel?
Yeah. No, and this is what I think is, what I argue, in my monograph, is that one, you can understand why Iran behaves the way it does. And I think it's wrong to think that, the Iranians are just simply opaque, that you can't understand them or that they're completely irrational. I think that once you get inside their ideology, which the ideology can be crazy, but once you understand the ideology, they behave very rationally within it. And I think that's very powerful for the U.S. because you can anticipate what the Iranians are doing, and you can come up with much better strategies to blunt what they're doing and to be able to push back against against the fact they're destabilizing behavior in the region.
Well, Matthew, it makes a lot of sense. Do the policymakers today have the political will to get outside of that nine-dot paradigm and one that somehow wants to impose the Western's ideology on the Middle East's ideology? And in this case, I mean, there is a clear contrast. I mean, most people can see it from the outside, but yet we hear in policies and we've heard over the years where it just seems like they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole here.
You know, I think that's probably on the mark there. That we have to recognize that we're dealing with a regime and a government that's going to think very differently, and also frankly a regime that is changing. And one thing that I could be changing in certain ways that are important for us. One thing that I point out is that that after the nuclear deal and after their wars in Syria and Iraq in the last few years, that Iran is being driven by changing threat perceptions, and perhaps they're going to be changing some parts of their ideology, not all of it, to be able to become more of an offensive conventional power, which is something they have not become more of what I consider a normal power, that more like Turkey or Pakistan, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to become like this. But I think it's going to be a real challenge for us to see if Iran's going to develop maybe like a real air force, a real navy, a real army. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but I think that in 2016 we began to see this happen, and whether they're going to be spending all the new billions that they're getting from the nuclear deal on new types of weapons, a new type of military, and I think this is a real interesting inflection.
So this
for me is something that I really hope the new administration is going to take hold of new policies that push back against what Iran is doing, while at the same time recognizing that we can't fix everything. That I want us to be realistic and understand our limitations as well as the tremendous amount of leverage that we have against Iran.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew, do you think that the policymakers back in the Pentagon and D.C. are, to your point, they look at Iran and say, look, they don't have much of a standing army. This is probably why they're relying on ISIS a bit and maybe working a deal out with Putin. But they don't have a standing army, so even if they had nuclear weaponry, it's still somewhat manageable. But, no doubt, and I think that your monograph reinforces this, that Iran is nuclear-focused, right?
Well, I think Iran eventually wants to have, regardless of the nuclear deal, perhaps delaying for a few years this process, I think they eventually want to have, nuclear weapons, capability, particularly even an arsenal. I think that's part of the reason why they were willing to do the deal a few years ago is because they weren't ready yet to build a full arsenal. They didn't want to come out like the way North Korea has with one or two, three, four weapons. I think they want to come out the way Pakistan did back in 1998, right, with a full suite of weapons, and they weren't ready for that. I think they may be ready at the end of the next decade to do that. And they need time. And so I think that they're still focused on that to be able to preserve the government that they have and to project power and to defend, to be able to challenge Israel the way they would like and to, ensure that, that we'll, not confront them the way they're afraid of. So I think this is what they're focused on. At the same time, they are still, building up proxy groups around the region, and I think they also, if they can, build up a more conventional military, which frankly they have a very poor military right now and have for many years. I think they want it all if they could get it, but they don't have enough money, frankly, to get it all. So they have to figure out where's the best bang for the buck right now.
Exactly, and then they're hoping there's not a preemptive strike along the way here, and so they have to play it a little coy, to say the least, right?
Yeah. I think that for them right now, they're looking for how to maximize, their influence throughout the region, and they never wanted the war in Syria the way it is now.
Exactly.
I mean, they used to have Assad. What I used to say, they used to have Assad in Syria for free, and now they have to pay for it.
Exactly. Well, Matthew, we got to hit the.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul, former congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I love these summer months because this is when I get to enjoy the fresh fruits and vegetables that are being harvested on small farms and in our backyards. We all look forward to garden tomatoes and corn on the cob. Don't you wish there was a better way to preserve their true tastes and flavors? I'm here to tell you that there is a better way. It's by using the amazing home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. I have a Harvest Right freeze dryer and use it to preserve the foods I love. Strawberries, apples, and even lasagna and ice cream can stay fresh for 25 years. And the best part of my freeze drying is my family and I have a supply of long-lasting food on hand. So no matter what may come, we feel better prepared. We love our freeze dryer. To learn more, go to HarvestRight.com or call 800-923-9591. That's HarvestRight.com or 800-923-9591.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Matthew McGinnis from the American Enterprise continues, taking a look at Inside Tehran's strategic thinking. Matthew has presented a new monograph, which is an extensive research paper, over 100 pages, in understanding and helping us understand where Iran is coming from, where they are, and for us to consider the future of Iran's security policy. Matthew, let's talk about those key findings that you had, the four core variables influencing their thinking. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I mentioned some of this before, but you know, the key issue that I found, and in some ways this kind of surprised me a bit, is that, you know, it's dominated by threat perceptions for the Iranians. That, you know, for Tehran, they look first and foremost at what is going to be their dominant threat perception, which for normally is us. Followed by the Israelis, then followed by, you know, groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda or other Sunni, you know, jihadist groups, and then maybe the Saudis and other Arab rivals, local rivals, and this is really what drives most of their calculations. Now, again, the caveat to all that is, of course, they choose to be our enemy, and they choose to be Israel's enemy. That's where the ideology kicks in. You know, there's no geopolitical reason why they need to oppose us or Israel the way they do. It makes a little bit of sense that they are going to have regional rivalries like Saudi Arabia. That makes a lot of sense. And they're going to have tensions with, you know, certain neighbors or rivalries. But it makes no sense what they do with Israel from a geopolitical sense. That's purely, you know, ideology and religion and those types of issues.
Exactly.
But beyond the threat perceptions and ideology, you also have factors of, you know, Iran's very tight-knit, informal decision-making network that comes from this first generation of revolutionaries that fought together in the Iran-Iraq War that still dominates. And this is really key for those that are looking for an Iran, despite the hopes for someone like President Rouhani, that they think it's going to be a moderating regime over time, that as they, you know, after the nuclear deal that I think President Obama had hoped, that they're going to become more integrated into the West. I think this first generation, as long as they're in power, and I think they're going to be in power for another 15 years at least, they're still true believers at the top. The people below may not believe in the revolution much anymore, but those that rule in Iran, they still want to keep going. And I think this is not, people want to think this is like the Soviet Union or China, you know, China in the 1970s or the Soviet Union in the 80s, that maybe Iran's about to change dramatically. Maybe, but I think that Iran still has, you know, another generation to go before you see dramatic shifts away from this ideology, and we start seeing a more democratic Iran that is not so hostile to the West. So these are the kind of the key factors there that you see driving most of Iran's decision making.
Can they blend in with the West? I mean, you know, again, we're looking at their ideology today. You say another 15 years, the next generation coming behind, not quite so ideologically fixed, but yet, you know, these kids nonetheless, I mean, they have been groomed on this. They've been indoctrinated since, you know, they were probably 3-4 years old. So I still think it's going to be tough, in my perspective, to be able to blend them into the West, especially when you've got, you know, radical Islamists running around.
I think it's a real challenge, a real difficulty. I think that there is certainly a large group, particularly among the middle class Iranians, that are fairly well educated, that are very open to Western ideas. At the same time, you have other large groups within Iran that are very much influenced by the what we call the besieged, as well as the Revolutionary Guard Corps that have been indoctrinated. So I think there's a real split within the new generation. So I think that there's going to be a challenge for even for the young people under 30, under 40, moving forward, and particularly because the Revolutionary Guard Corps and those that, you know, not only those that are still in uniform, but those that have moved out of uniform and own businesses and have, frankly, they own perhaps, you know, 20-30% of the economy right now in Iran. They still hold power. I consider them the kind of the armed bourgeoisie of Iran. It's a very kind of strange arrangement, and I think that, you know, even if we see less ideology, I think you're going to retain this kind of, you know, armed, you know, kind of authoritarian, you know, system there, you know, by these former or, you know, current or former Revolutionary Guard Corps guys that I think is going to sustain for a very long time. And I think that Iran is going to have very problematic policies for many generations because of what's been set up ever since 1979.
Exactly. And speaking of which, going back there, you know, I think about, you know, the older people who remember what it was when the Shah of Iran was around and there was, you know, more Western compatibility, you might say. What is their influence? Are they the armed bourgeoisie? Is that what they represent mostly?
No, I think the older crowd, you know, there's still some remnants of those, but most of those individuals left, you know, after the revolution or were killed, you know, or became part of the revolution. So there's still some remnant of that, but I think their influence is fairly weak at this stage. Of course, there's a very large, you know, expatriate, you know, communities around the world, particularly
exactly.
in the United States and Canada. You know, and some parts of Asia and Europe, but you know their ability to influence, you know, stuff going on inside Iran is relatively little, in my opinion. Now, of course, if they all came home one day, that would be a different story, and maybe that will happen. But I don't think we're at that point for that to be a major factor at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your monograph, you state that the United States has overwhelming influence on Iran's strategic policies and behaviors. Heretofore, you might question whether or not they were exercising much influence, but what do you see happening that would give us confidence that that is the case?
Well, what I argue is that because we dominate their thinking, particularly from a threat perception, but also because we have so much influence on their economic capacity, you know, we still retain, you know, huge influence through our remaining sanctions, because, you know, even after lifting the sanctions after the nuclear deal, we still retain a cloud of what I consider toxicity of investment into Iran that putting money into Tehran's you know business sector is still very, most Europeans and most Asian firms have a lot of hesitancy to do so, and so Iran's growth, potential growth, even, you know, for normal stuff as well as for money that would go into funding its military and for supporting proxies and terrorism, all those things you know are shaped very much by U.S. You know, sanctions policy as well as economic policies, and so that we influence Iran in multiple ways, and so that if we use our, if we exercise this type of power effectively, I think we can have an enormous impact on the direction that Iran goes in the coming years and decades. But you know, even if we choose not to, Iran's still going to be shaped very much by us.
Exactly.
I think we can be very proactive about it.
Well, one final question. We got about 30 seconds left here, and I want to ask you this, Matthew. President Trump has been saying he wants to cancel the agreement with Iran. Do you think that's really going to happen?
I think the president's instincts on this have been, you know, ever since the beginning of the campaign, his campaign back in 2015, have been that this deal is very problematic. I think he is many times is at a point where I think he wants to cancel it. I think in the end, I think there's most likely the deal will kind of stick, but he is going to be enforcing it to the hilt. And I think that we're going to be looking to see if there can be a successor or ways to amend or fix this deal as best we can.
Exactly. Matthew McGinnis with the American Enterprise Institute. Resident Fellow, his research areas include Iranian strategy, military power, and defense policy. Matthew, it's always great to have you inside.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. A recent study by the Program for International Student Assessment, or PISA, on the financial proficiency of teenagers ranked the United States 7th out of 15 countries with regards to financial literacy. The National Endowment for Financial Education, or NEFI, says there is a dual responsibility with parents and schools to educate teens on money matters. Ted Beck, president and CEO of NEFI, on how parents can help teens become money savvy.
The single biggest factor is parental involvement. And so starting at an early age, talk to your children about money, about how you run your budget, how you pay for things, how income works, so that they understand basically the dynamics of the household. And please make it a discussion, not a lecture. And one thing you can do is actually get your child to open a bank account or a credit union account.
For more information on how to help your teen manage their financial future, visit smartaboutmoney.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, did you know that more people in the United States experience a stroke than a heart attack? Each year, strokes kill twice as many women as breast cancer. The prevalence and death rates from stroke vary widely across the U.S. However, in 8 southern states called the stroke belt, the death rate from stroke is 20% higher than the national average. The stroke belt includes North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Arkansas. However, anyone can be at risk for a stroke despite where they live, and several factors put some people at a higher risk. When it comes to reducing your risk and increasing your chances of surviving a stroke, knowledge is key. With us right now, Dr. Paul Singh. He's the assistant professor of neuroendovascular surgery and vascular neurology at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School, associate director of the Comprehensive Stroke Center at University Hospital, co-director of Primary Stroke Center at Newark Beth Israel Hospital. You understand? He has his act together. This is why he's in charge of everything here. And also Patrick Johnson, a retired Air Force Reserve colonel. Gentlemen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Very good.
Hey, excellent. Well, May is Stroke Awareness Month, Dr. Singh. And, you know, this is what it's all about, having you and Patrick with us on the show this morning so that we can shed some light on strokes and just how serious they are.
appreciate you inviting us on the show, and thank you for the flattering comments.
Well, good. Mr. Johnson, we'll start with you first. Tell us what happened on the day you suffered your stroke.
Well, Bill, there was nothing unusual about that day. It was a normal day at work. I took a run at lunchtime. I had dinner with my wife, who's also a nurse. My son happens to be a critical care nurse, and he came and visited us from out of town. I went to bed, and I woke up at 3:25 a.m. I'm the type of guy that looks at the time and to go to the bathroom. And when I laid back down, my wife said, "Cuddle me," and I replied in a slurred voice, "I can't move." And my wife turned on the light. And she knew immediately something was wrong. She knew time is brain and dialed 911. Ironically, 2 days before that, I had had my Air Force Reserve weekend, and I had taken my Air Force fitness test and scored a 93, and which is an excellent score.
Right.
I'm a long-distance runner and a vegetarian, and I'm not a stroke candidate, but that didn't stop my wife from knowing that I had a stroke.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Singh, why is it so important to do what the colonel's wife did, and that's call 911 at the first sign of a stroke?
It's a great question, and Patrick hit the nail on the head when he said time is brain. What we often teach is that for every minute that goes by when you're having a stroke, you're losing brain cells. And so urgent therapies are very important to deliver as soon as you detect the early signs of stroke. That's why you need to call 911 and get to a hospital so you can get these therapies as soon as possible.
Well, how can people best remember the signs and symptoms?
I often use the acronym FAST, F-A-S-T. The F stands for drooping of the face. The A stands for arm weakness. S stands for some sort of speech abnormality. It could be garbled speech or inability to produce words at all. And 90% of stroke patients have one of these three symptoms. The T in FAST stands for time, and that's because of those time-sensitive therapies that we just mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Colonel, what was your recovery like?
Well, my stroke was severe. I did have all of those symptoms, but I was fortunate. I got to the emergency department promptly. I was medicated within the time frame. The first 24 hours, I was flat on my back, and it was a bit of a blur. But then I was able to walk with assistance, and I progressed pretty rapidly. I was discharged in 4 days, which was pretty good, and returned to work 7 days after the stroke, which was a little bit too soon. I did need a lot more sleep after the stroke, but I did run 4 months, 2 months after the stroke. I did get a pacemaker implanted after the stroke also.
Yeah,
but I recovered pretty quickly, and in many regards, it was almost as if the stroke didn't happen.
Wow. I think Dr. Singh just about passed out when you said how quickly you went back to work here. fast is fast, but we wanted fast in terms of addressing the issue. Dr. Singh, he said that, Patrick said that he addressed this issue within the allowable time. Explain to our audience, when we talk about fast, what is that window?
So what I can say is that the earlier we deliver therapies in the emergency room, the better patients do. For every minute that we delay therapies, the chance that you can actually recover as well as Patrick has, it goes down immensely. So these days we don't put an exact number on it. But I can say that if you were to wait over a day to come to the hospital or even after several hours and minutes, your chance of recovery is much lower.
Mm-hmm. So, explain, Dr. Singh, the risk, some of the major risk factors for stroke.
Sure. Some of the major risk factors that we teach are high blood pressure, hypertension, high cholesterol or hypercholesterolemia, diabetes, and smoking.
Exactly. Well, Colonel, how has your life changed? You said you have a pacemaker now, what other changes? I mean, you got back to work pretty quick, it seems. You're probably just the type A personality that's just not going to let anybody slow you down. It's like my doctor told me, he says, you're built like a moose, that you're going to die, and maybe your body will get the memo 3 years after your death,
I'm a little type A. You got that right, Jill. But when something like this happens, it does change your perspective on mortality.
Yes.
I'm obviously grateful to my wife. She did say, cuddle me. That helped.
Yes.
And actually, in medical science, that makes me as functional as I am today. I have to say that I don't allow myself to forget that I had the stroke. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's all a bed of roses. I did develop some seizures, a couple seizures a few years later, and I do have to take some seizure medicine. I do have to take some blood thinners. So it's not like there's nothing. I do belong to a stroke support group. I had one in Florida. I was for 30 years on the east coast of Florida, Flagler mm-hmm. County. I live in western North Carolina, so I have a stroke support group there now that I do want to share my stroke story. I do think it's important for people to know all about stroke and to learn about stroke and how to prevent or how to respond to stroke, basically.
Exactly. And the good news is you can still cuddle.
Absolutely.
Dr. Singh, tell us a little bit more about the stroke belt. We've got about a minute and a half left here.
Sure. So a lot of the states that you mentioned, the stroke belt, I've actually lived in, and I grew up all throughout the South in a lot of those states. I love the diet down there. The food tastes wonderful. Like, there's a lot, but unfortunately, those foods have a lot of salt and a lot of butter, a lot of fat. Unfortunately, these things lead to the risk factors that we were talking about for stroke.
Exactly. Well, Colonel, what is your advice to others?
Well, you know, I took care of wounded warriors in Iraq, and mm-hmm. I took care of wounded warriors in Germany. And, you know, I saw people who had lots of injuries, and they were healthy people beforehand. And so the healthier you are, the better you recover. So I think all of us can exercise more, eat a healthy diet, work to get healthy now. If life throws you a curveball, things can happen to any of us.
Exactly.
So I do believe that we need to work to get healthy now. It'll help us in recover if something happens later.
Excellent. Dr. Singh, final question. Where can people go for more information about stroke?
You can go to strokecall911.com, and you can get a lot more information there.
That easy, that simple. Dr. Paul Singh and Patrick Johnson, retired Air Force Reserve Colonel, with us as we give notice that May is Stroke Awareness Month. So be aware, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
This report is brought to you by Alcon. June is Cataract Awareness Month. Cataracts affect more than 24 million Americans over age 40, but many may not fully understand the emotional side of the condition. A new survey from Alcon of about 1,300 people age 60 and older who have had cataract surgery found that cataracts can make people feel annoyed, frustrated, or old. Dr. Lawrence Woodard, medical director at Omni Eye Services in Atlanta and a paid Alcon consultant.
Most people get cataracts at some point in life. It's a natural part of aging. Cataracts can take an emotional toll as you lose the ability to see the rich color and detail of life. But there are treatment options available that can correct cataracts and may reduce the need for glasses at the same time. The Alcon survey found that many respondents agreed they felt happier or more satisfied with their lives after cataract surgery. And you can too.
Make your vision a priority this month. Visit mycataracts.com to learn more.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we like all those good things, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Good to have you along with us. We're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Quick reminder here that we still have a couple more Ultimate Shack Packs to give away. And all you got to do is just drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. And an Ultimate Shack Pack would be quickly on your way, courtesy of Lionsgate. It includes a Shack Blu-ray DVD. Shack grow sticks that are absolutely awesome. You just plant, water, and watch your flowers grow. Plus, we're going to give you some inspirational music from the Shack digital CD as well. You can play them for your plants and watch them grow even bigger and faster, all that good fun. So, real simple, email, tell me you want to be in the running. We'll pull your name, and there you are. Make sure your address is included so we know exactly where to send that Ultimate Shack Pack, okay? Again, we're thankful to our friends at Lionsgate for making all this happen. Remember, the Shack is now available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD. For more information about the Shack, go to theshack.movie. It's all right there. And speaking of movies, it is time for Focus on the Family's director of media and culture, also director of Focus's very popular Plugged In department at PluggedIn.com. Yes, I'm talking to Robert Walaszewski, the one and only. It's always good to have Bob with us every week, except for those times where he's on extended vacations. I mean, sometimes I wonder, I think maybe you're in Congress or something. You get a lot of time off. I'm just saying.
I don't get near as much as those congressmen, no. And I don't get to play near as much golf or go to Florida, my Florida beach house, like the president either. Maybe I should go into politics.
You want to stay out of Florida right now. They got sinkholes. I mean, every time I'm opening up the paper, I'm on the West Coast right now. I'm out in the desert in Palm Springs for all intent and purposes. And, you know, I keep opening up the paper and there's another sinkhole. There was a car swallowed up in Florida. So maybe you don't want to go to Florida right now.
Could be
infrastructure issues. I don't know. Just saying. But, what happened to The Mummy? Didn't quite hit number one. But number two, though, huh?
Yeah. You know, Tom Cruise is definitely bankable. But I think what happened was that Universal has all these films in their vault, and they decided to relaunch. I mean, Brandon Fraser's Mummy wasn't all that many years ago. Mm-hmm. So to have a new Mummy seems kind of quick, yeah. But they're trying to bring out, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon and Frankenstein and Dracula. And this was supposed to be their first kind of test case. Mm-hmm. Let's see how Tom Cruise and company does with The Mummy. If it's just a runaway success, we'll just start going to the vault and bringing out, you know, more and more and more and more. And although it's number two, and although it made $32 million, this is a film that cost almost $100 million more than that to make.
Right,
it
exactly.
It cost $125 is what they say.
That's what they want to admit to. But now that it's gone so bad, they're going to tell the IRS it was actually $170. Just kidding. Yeah.
That could be. So it didn't do all that well, and deservedly so. Mm-hmm. This was not the kind of strong storyline film that would engage you, and you're rooting for the characters and all that. In a nutshell, and I can spell it out a little bit more, this is a zombie film. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to The Mummy, you might be expected more of a thriller, but this is, The Mummy is an Egyptian princess that was embalmed years ago after she basically sold herself to the devil. And when she's awakened in modern times, she, along with a bunch of zombie-like creatures, come out of the crypt and go after Tom Cruise's character, his best friend, and an archaeologist female that they've been working with. And it's kind of a survival film. It doesn't work on a whole lot of levels for me. The creepy, believe it or not, it's really pretty scary.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. And theologically, it's just a mess.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to expect a Scientologist to be very theologically founded, is he?
No. The whole thing is and it's full of plot holes. Number two was expected. I know they would have liked to have come in at number one, but it's hard to topple Wonder Woman. You know, one more superhero movie. And superhero movies, as we both have seen time and time again, are resonating with the culture. And, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. I think we all want somebody to root for, and a true hero, someone who saves the day, someone who fights against injustice, especially with all the issues that are going on in Washington, D.C. And it's just a good escapism sometimes just to go and find someone who seems to care and will fight and root for the underdogs. And
sometimes we just need, sometimes we just need amusement here. That's all. And the thing I got to tell you, Bob, I'm surprised is, guys are liking this movie almost as much as the women.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. And the reason why I liked it, I had a few issues with it, and we talked last week, but the reason why I liked it is because she's a very principled, I call it, superhero. In other words, she really does hate the evil that's going on in the world. She really does want to stand up for what she believes is injustice. She really weeps over the war that's going on. In this case, it's World War One.
Right.
And she wants to leave her island of basically paradise.
Right,
she wants to leave her paradise island and go when Chris Pine's character crash lands off the coast and she rescues him and she hears about World War One. She's kind of like, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, there's a disturbance in the force here. You know, that's what this is all about. Exactly. Megan Levy, did you get a chance to see that?
Megan Levy. Now, here is a film, Bill, that's just like, kind of like a Lone Survivor, kind of like American Sniper, kind of like a Hacksaw Ridge. In other words, what I'm saying is we have a very encouraging, inspiring, uplifting true story that you can, with someone to truly root for, a real hero. But like those other three movies I mentioned, there's a lot of jarring war violence and a lot of language as well.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to give films like that more of a pass in the faith community, and I understand why, because they are encouraging. We can really root for.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Megan Levy, for our listeners who are not familiar, is a true person. She's on the planet today. Mm-hmm. When we meet her in the film, she doesn't start out as much of a hero. In fact, she's a pretty troubled gal.
Mm-hmm.
She joins the Marines, I think, to hopefully.
And the real Megan Levy, by the way, just so you know, she does a live cameo there in boot camp. She's the one that actually gets into the star's face there in boot camp. Just a little tidbit information here. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
She gets disciplined in the Marines, and she's assigned to cleaning out the kennels of a canine unit. And it's there that the light bulb goes on for her. She decides that she wants to train to become a handler for one of those bomb-sniffing pups. And then she's paired with a dog named Rex, who has his own discipline problems. And together, they become heroes.
Exactly.
So, again, if people can wade through the language and the violence, at its essence, you've got a hero to look up to and someone to truly root for. So, it did pretty well, too, over the weekend. So.
And it really opens up, you know, our minds and understanding of military dogs. They are perceived as the possession of the military. And, they're almost mechanical, you know, just to be tossed aside. And, you know, they serve their purpose. And, they just go off into the sunset, and in some cases, not necessarily in the most pleasant of ways after they've served our country. So I think that's an issue to be discussed further. And I think it's going to cause some people to, be a little bit more, I guess, more sensitive to these animals, you know.
Yeah, well, when they've served like they have, whether it's this dog, Rex, or any dog that's gone out, you know, it's not time to just put them out to pasture, if you will, or put them down. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are dogs that people would happily adopt, you know. And, hey, we've got military planes going back and forth from the Mideast all the time. So to put one or two in a kennel and put them in the belly of a plane and get out and welcome to a family who would have open arms and say, we would love this dog, is probably a better fit than some of the things we've thought of in the past.
Well, you know, in her case, they document that it was a challenge. I mean, she wanted to have Rex, and who better to handle the dog than a trainer who has been with the dog? They already have a relationship, familiarity. Of course, the military is concerned that, look, we've trained this dog to do certain things for the military. What happens if it goes rogue? What kind of liability are we going to run into here? And but in this particular case, she was able to get Rex, and I think Rex lived with her, I don't think, quite a full year before he passed away. And there are other instances, Bob, where soldiers who have come back, worked with dogs, and for PTSD purposes, for, animals that are there to offer support. In fact, we just heard of a tragic story here recently, which Senator Al Franken reported on, that he was very close to this one soldier who was able to get his dog, but unfortunately he ended up committing suicide. And this is a tough, these are tough real life stories that we're having to deal with, but I think it keeps the conversation going, and it's something for us to see what we can come up in terms of solving this issue. If a soldier who's been working with a dog comes back, why not? You know, I don't have a problem with it as long as it's, with that same soldier. And there's, but I understand the government's condition, and concern about liability as well.
Yeah. Well, on a side note, I just think there's something very healing about hanging out with animals,
yes,
whether it's a dog. Certainly in this case, we're talking dogs.
Yeah.
But my wife and I are also supporters of a horse therapy ranch over on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yes.
And
wow.
And I have seen time and time again of kids that have gone through trauma paired with horses that have gone.
Well, Bob, we got to leave it right there because we're out of time, sadly. Bob Waliszewski, thank you so much for being with Bill Martinez Live.
Buy, sell, makeoffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that buy, sell, makeoffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just up the ante. Go right now to buy, sell, makeoffer.com and click the sign me up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at buysellmakeoffer.com.
It's a no-brainer.